We all love watching our dogs have fun, and we always want to include them in everything. But there's a couple of places that you should think twice about before bringing your dogs. That's exactly what we're talking about today. Welcome back to the McCann Dogs Podcast. Today, we wanted to talk about some of the places that, as professional dog trainers, we never utilize with our dogs, and some of the places that, as professional dog trainers, we might utilize with our dogs, but only once our dogs have had enough training that they're going to do well in those situations.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. So, on that note,
without any further ado,
here's some ado. That was just some ado. That's it. Without any further ado, what do you think the very first place that we would never take our dogs?
To a dog park.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ding, 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 right. Ding. It's absolutely fact. You will find very few dog trainers. I would think you would find very few dog trainers who would say, yeah, take your dog to a leash-free park and let them go play.
Very few dog professionals overall. Yeah. I don't think you'd see any veterinarians at a dog park, animal health technicians at a dog park.
Mm-hmm.
I think people in the dog profession have realized that it's not the best place. There are situations where it can be, but there's many more situations where it's not.
Yeah. So actually, let's talk about that for a minute, because what are the situations where it can be okay versus what are the situations where it can't be okay? First off, why don't we talk about the actual setup of the park when it comes to that?
Right.
So what kind of situations make you cringe when you see a dog park
somewhere? Well, there's one that I drive past quite often when I drive to McCann's. That's in Hamilton. And it's basically a square. I don't know the dimensions. It's not super big, but it's just a square area with nothing in it. The grass has long since been torn up. So it's basically just a square dirt boxing ring, I'll call it.
A boxing ring, yeah.
And basically there's no trees, there's nothing. And dogs just walk in and there's nothing there except for the other dogs. And it's just a big square area.
Yeah.
And to me, that is, you're asking for trouble in an area like that.
Yeah, I am 1,000% with you on that one, because those are the ones that make me cringe. I actually just drove by one that is new to me because I'm in a new area of Ontario now. I've moved from Brantford to Dunville area, and I'm exploring that area. So I'm spending more time around Welland and things like that. And learning the lay of the land and getting to know some places. And I drove by one the other day and it caught my eye as a dog park. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, that's it. It was literally probably, maybe 150 feet by 150 feet.
Right.
Like, it really was just a fenced space for dogs. And there was actually two of them. So there was a smaller one and then slightly bigger one off on the other side of the park. But it was still, in my opinion, it was nowhere near what I would want. If I was to make use of a dog park, it is like the lowest form of dog park for me.
Right.
I would never, ever, ever subject my dog to the potentials that could be in that situation.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about that for a minute before we move on to what might be acceptable in a dog park. Because I think it's important to talk about the pitfalls of this setup. So as you mentioned, there's nothing in these spaces, right? There might be a tree or two, but for the most part, I think the idea behind these spaces is that the dogs just go hog wild and wrestle and crash and bang and chase each other.
So if there was a tree, they could smash into it.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
It could actually cause some danger to them. So maybe that's a good thing in that setup.
Right.
However, it's not a great setup.
No.
So what's the first thought that comes to your mind? If I were to say to you, okay, Swanee, this is the only option you have, go into that park. What's the first thought that comes to your mind? Like, just visceral reaction.
Oh, no. there's nothing in there. If there's dogs in there, the moment I walk in and my dog is the new object and there's nothing else to do in here, so let's go pounce on that new object.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's like my dog.
That might be one other dog in that space, and it might be 15 other dogs in that space.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a scary situation for a dog. And I think a lot of the times people will question this advice because they have potentially been to a dog park themselves and maybe they've had a good time with it.
Right.
So
often they're the people that have a very gregarious, just goofy dog that, but somebody who walks in with a dog that's got maybe a little bit of fear or is just doesn't want to play. Like I've had dogs that don't want to play with other dogs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I actually wrote an article about like the truth about leash-free parks, basically. You can find that on the McCann Dogs website on our blog if you're interested in the article. But basically, the whole point of why I wrote that article was because we were dealing with students and people who were saying things like, you know, we go and he just doesn't want to play. Like, he's hiding behind my legs and he doesn't want to play. How do I get him to go out and play? And it's backwards thinking, right, on our part, that we think that all dogs should want to play with, right, all other dogs. And it's just, that's a bad setup for your dog. And especially for a dog who is already selective about playmates.
Yes.
Right. Which, if you have a young puppy, that puppy is probably going to be fairly social with most other dogs. It's unusual. It's outside of the norm,
right,
for a puppy to not be social, right? Like, this is the time in their life where they're learning and they're little sponges and they're trying to soak in information and they're practicing skills that they might need instinctually for adulthood. Mm-hmm. So when two dogs are wrestling together, for example, you know, that's them practicing fighting, right, skills, mm-hmm, and chasing skills and motion and movement and all those things, right? That's them practicing with their instincts.
Right.
And I think that a lot of people think that that's going to go on forever with a dog. Mm-hmm. So in your experience, at what point do you start to see that fade?
Oh, I would say in their teenage months to a year, yeah, to a little bit older.
Yeah. So that may be like around 7 months. And
right. Up. Yeah. Often it starts to, yeah, the dog's more individual characteristics come out then.
Right.
But yeah, like I think of it as with people, like when I was in high school, I wasn't rushing out to the pep rallies and, yeah, I enjoyed going to the dances, but I didn't enjoy a lot of the other social activities,
right,
because I was becoming my own person in my teens.
Yes.
And that's how your dog is becoming too.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're starting to become a little bit more individual versus more collective minded,
right?
They're gaining that independence as well. Mm-hmm. So now we keep them in this situation where they're saying, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And our instinct as people is, oh, we need to fix this because we don't want him to be antisocial. We want him to keep wanting to play. And the dog is very clearly saying, I don't want to play. I don't want to be here.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that that dog might not like to have selective friends.
Right, yes. Yeah, they might like some one-on-one play with, yeah, a like-minded dog.
You bet. Yeah. Absolutely.
Or they might just like to chum around with another dog. Not play, but just,
yeah,
you know what? We just walk around. We sniff each other. We sniff together. You know, we're, yeah, pals, but we don't play.
Yeah. That's actually how my dogs treat each other, because they get all of their, right, play needs met through me generally. Mm. So my dogs don't tend to play with one another,
right,
because it's not something that I promote.
Yeah. Yes.
For them to do. And when I'm raising a puppy, I make sure that I am the center of their universe. You know, I make sure that I am spending lots of time meeting their needs, being that wonderful outlet for all their energy and all their instincts and whatnot. And by the time they get to the point where they are sharing space with my other dogs, they're really not interested in playing because it's not what they've rehearsed,
right,
for all this time in their life. So, I mean, that really makes my relationship with my dogs so much stronger. And I would never question whether my dogs would choose me or the other dogs in my house.
Right.
They would always choose me because, yeah, I make sure that I put the value on me and I don't just let the other dogs, you know, meet all of those,
right,
exercise and emotional needs, mm-hmm, and all of the things that we can use to our advantage to create these great relationships.
Right, yes.
So,
well, I find too at dog parks, often the people, not always, but the bulk of the people have no control over their,
yeah,
dogs. That's why they're at the dog park, mm-hmm, because they haven't taken the time to train their dog. Their dog has no recall. The dog, they don't know how to interact with their dog to satisfy their dog's needs. So they're using the dog park.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that might ruffle some feathers, but, you know, I challenge a lot of the dog park people to be able to take their dog off leash in an open area,
yeah,
and be able to call their dog back. And I think a lot of them can't. And do I want my dog around dogs that aren't under verbal control?
Yeah, absolutely. And as soon as something goes wrong, like, how does that get stopped,
yes,
right? If the humans don't have verbal control. So, I mean, truly in this scenario, that is a scary thought for, mm-hmm, me, that something can go wrong in the blink of an eye.
Yes.
And it does.
Yes. And I've worked at an emergency, yep, vet clinic, and I've seen a lot go wrong at dog parks, and you don't hear about it as much as it does happen. But, you know, just a lot of simple things like lacerations, you know, dog's ears torn.
You told me some eyeball
stories.
Yeah,
dogs losing eyes.
Oh.
And I've seen some horrible things too that have resulted in death or permanent back injuries to dogs too. So, you know, bad things do happen at dog parks. Yeah. So don't, don't go in blindly, like kind of know what you're possibly, you know, putting your dog into.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is always going to be worth your while to make sure that you have a solid recall in any situation that you're going to allow your dog off leash. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's in a safe and fenced area, you're not doing yourself any favors by letting your dog off leash in the dog park and then not being able to call them back.
Right, yes.
You know, the dog that learns that you don't have that control, it actually makes your recall that much worse.
Right. So and it's... Yeah, and then the day your dog gets slips out the front door or is at the cottage and somehow gets out, the dog says, I didn't have to come all those times at the dog park. Why do I have to come now?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you do decide to use a dog park, I would say don't do it until you know that your dog will come back when they are called from playing with another dog.
Right, and that's tough, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That requires practice. But what would you look for? Say you were going to go to a dog park. What Describe a dog park that you would enjoy taking your dogs to.
I probably still would not take the chance personally because I don't want to take a chance that another dog, you know, comes out of the blue or out of some other place off leash and tackles my dog. So I'm just not going to take a chance of that. However, I think that's a valid question. Yes. And I think people who are in situations where they really don't have other options.
Right. Like people who live in New York City. I think I've mentioned before in other podcasts. When I was in New York City, I was very interested in watching the dog parks. I went there just to visit. And here, all these things I can go see, all these tourist attractions, and I'm sitting watching the dog park.
I would have been doing the same thing. Oh my gosh, you would be like, what's happening here? Actually, I remember a story. My sister, my mother, and I all went to New York City, and this was when we were just a one dog family with a Rottweiler. Mm-hmm. So this was a long, long time ago, you know, probably early 2000s. We went to take in a concert at Madison Square Gardens. Mm-hmm. It happened to be Mr. Elton John at his piano.
Mr. Elton John!
I've seen Elton John at a lot of different places. But anyways, that's not the point of the story. I do remember my mom looking in somewhere. We were somewhere around Central Park, so there must be a dog park there, and or at least a park with fences.
Or at least a park with
or
dogs.
Or at least a park. Or some, you know, some sort of green
or some dogs.
Some sort of breathing individual beings, four legs, two legs. You know, something was happening there in New York City. So my mother spots a Rottweiler. And of course, like, you have to know my mother because her heart and soul was all about Quincy, my Rottweiler. She just loved all of our pets that we've ever had. I grew up, I couldn't have dogs growing up because we had this old cat that was, you know, just the be all and end all for my mom. And then when Quincy came home, the Rottweiler, she just fell madly in love with Quincy, and Quincy could, you know, it could bring the sunlight out in any situation. So we're in New York and she sees this Rottweiler in New York and like she just lights up and she goes chasing this man with the Rottweiler. And luckily the Rottweiler was a very nice dog. She was like, oh, I have a Rottweiler too. And oh my goodness, I'm seeing a New York Rottweiler. And I still have a picture of that New York Rottweiler. I mean, this New York Rottweiler, early 2000s. Right, yeah. So and the chances are that dog is long gone at this point. I mean, my own sweet Rottweiler, Quincy, is long gone at this point as well, sadly. But yeah, that was a funny story. My mom just, Rottweiler must navigate. Anyways, the other funny story about New York City, which I'll move on to dog stuff in a minute, but my mom is a funny, funny story woman. So my sister and my mom and I were all walking along, and of course, nobody stops for anything in New York, right? Like you're crossing the intersections and it's a blatantly red light. Mm-hmm. You don't have the right of way to cross as a pedestrian, but the whole pack of people is just going anyways. So like people are on a mission. They're in a hurry. They're going to their places. Mm-hmm. My sister and I were talking about something and my mom was sort of like off to the side and out of our peripheral vision for a second. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if she was like looking at something or whatever. Maybe there was another Rottweiler she was looking at. But all of a sudden I was like, where's my mom? And I turned around. Notoriously clumsy woman, just like me. I come by it honestly. So I turned around and she had fallen and she was being picked up. So there was these nice, lovely people in New York where I just said, nobody's stopping for anything. I turned around and there's these nice people helping pick my mother up off the ground. And I mean, she was young at that point.
Right,
very capable. So she was just laughing at the fact that she had fallen. And I was like, oh my God, like, what is going on here? Anyways, people are kind in New York
City.
Yes,
they are. They are.
They will take the time to pick you up if you've fallen down, which is nice. But you're right. Back to the point.
Right.
You are right. Like, right. We need to be able to do what we need to do for our dogs. And
right.
Sometimes this is our only option.
Yes.
So
what to look for if... Yes.
So first off, if the only thing you have access to is that squared off fenced area with nothing in it but other dogs, go during off times. Mm-hmm. Find a group of people that you know, trust, and like their dogs, mm-hmm. and your dogs have similar play styles. Pick a time to meet up
right.
when it's not going to be busy at the park, mm-hmm. and use that for your play session with
right.
your dog. You know, dogs that you know your dog is going to do well with, dogs that you know you can trust, you know that they're vaccinated, you know that they're healthy, and you know that the person's not just there to watch their dog beat up other dogs. You know?
Exactly,
like,
yes.
I mean,
yes.
I don't want to be disparaging about people, but there's some people out there that don't have the best of intentions, mm-hmm. and they take their dogs to dog parks too to right. say, hey, you know what?
Yep. Look how tough my dog is.
Tough. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Like, I don't want my dog to bear the brunt of that. There's right. also people who get well-meaning people telling them that if your dog is aggressive, go take mm-hmm. them to the off-leash park. Let them work it out for themselves. You know what? I don't want my dog to be the brunt of that. I don't want right. my dog to have to teach your, or to mm-hmm. have to be the experiment
right.
to see whether or not your dog will work it out on mm-hmm. their own. That's just not an acceptable yes. thing. So be very cautious with those setups.
Yes. And if you ever find yourself by yourself at the dog park, train your dog. That's
yeah.
a great time to work response yeah. to name, recall, stays, yeah. lie downs. Like, don't just look yeah. at your phone and scroll while your dog noses around. Do something with your dog.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll benefit your relationship. It'll benefit your mm-hmm. training. It's never going to be time that is wasted
right.
spending time training your dog. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a good use for those squared off leash free parks as well. You
yeah.
go there in your car, you get out of the car with the dog, and you train outside of that space.
Yes, yes.
You know, you have your dog on leash if you need to because you mm-hmm. need the control, and there's nothing wrong with having your dog on leash if they need to be on leash. So you keep them on leash outside of that leash free area
yeah.
and you work on skills.
Right, yeah. The dog has the visuals,
exactly.
the visual distractions, and you can move away, come yeah. closer, and
yeah.
yes.
And you're not putting them in danger in
right.
that moment. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have any other choice and you have a leash free park that is not a squared off area, that can work out really well.
Right.
Right? So there's one along the Hanlon in Guelph.
Okay. Yes,
where
I know.
It's just this really long, long, long stretch.
Right.
And you can see the trails and it's fenced,
yes.
but you can see trails mm-hmm. walking through or trails mm-hmm. winding through and people walking through. And a lot of the times, because the dogs are not necessarily having that free-for-all play, they just kind of pass each other. And, you know,
right.
dogs are fairly social mm-hmm. creatures, even if they're not wanting to be accepting of other dogs in their space. And there's all sorts of variety mm. that you're going to get. So you can't ever count on any one thing to
right.
address every single act of a dog mm-hmm. with another dog there. But
yes, one that you can walk with your
yeah.
dog, that you just don't go and stand.
Exactly.
So ones that's got trails and paths and...
Yeah.
trees and bushes and little scrub areas and different things for your dogs
what about
to
some
do.
Grass, a little grass, a couple of rocks.
Yeah. Like things that, yeah. well, there's things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Going into a dog park and standing still with your dog is the worst thing to
yes.
do. You got to keep them moving.
Yeah.
Keep
absolutely.
Them moving.
And I would say so strongly, if you can see that your dog doesn't want to be there, listen to them.
Yes.
Don't force the issue. Mm-hmm. You
and
know?
Don't feel the social pressure. Other dog park people tend to want to shame other people who don't let them go to the dog park.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I've had people say that to me, like, oh, why don't you take him to the dog park? Let him be a dog.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no. Well, if you had seen some of the things I saw at the emergency vet clinic,
yeah.
I think I'd
exactly.
rather have my dog's safety.
Yeah.
Like I saw some horrific things.
Yeah. I remember when we first got Quincy, I remember saying to my sister, like, we need to go to the dog park. Like, it'd be so fun to watch her playing at the dog park. And then we had started classes at McCann's really early on. She was 10 weeks when she started her first class. And the advice even back then was, no, don't take the chance. Your beautiful little puppy here might not be a good thing.
Right.
So that brings me to the puppy point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are in a position where that's what you need to do is you need to utilize leash-free parks, I would be very cautious with a puppy. And I would do everything that I could to avoid that scenario mm-hmm. with a puppy because it's easy to traumatize a puppy.
It is.
You know, with the
yes.
wrong experience. And even with a super social puppy and even with a super social adult dog, not all social adults are good with puppies.
Right.
You know?
Like, I wouldn't take my 3-year-old toddler and toss him into a teenage mosh pit at a punk rock concert. And that's what people are doing.
That is the best analogy ever.
Or I wouldn't take my grandma and toss her in a teenage punk rock mosh pit.
Oh, that's probably wise. Great Aunt Ida is not going in that mosh pit.
But people do that. They do that.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. It's
the stress on your dog, too. Imagine a party that's constantly changing faces and people, and you're getting tossed into this and having to socially adjust. Yeah. And, you know, you're getting banged from some people, and some people are pouncing on you. Other people are stealing things from you.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're not going to enjoy that.
No. And then when you go, okay, can we please go? I really want to go. And you hide behind somebody you know because you really want to go.
Yeah.
And they go, no, go out and socialize. You know what? Don't be antisocial.
Right, yeah.
Go out there and play. Go play nice, you know.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. you truly are.
Yes.
You truly are putting a big wedge into the relationship with your dog because they're asking you for something. And you're not supporting what they're asking you for. So truly, like, listen to the dog. And if you need professional advice to understand what the dog is saying, seek out that advice.
Right.
You know, do your dog that favor and figure out whether or not they truly want to be there. And use great caution with
it. Yes. And talk to professional dog trainers. Yeah. We always say that.
And vets.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, ask your vet what they think of leash-free parks.
People who own dogs often have opinions.
Yes.
And we always say, just because you have teeth, it doesn't make you a dentist. Same thing with a dog. Yeah. Just because you've had a dog or two and raised a dog or two, it doesn't make you a dog trainer.
Yeah.
So don't, you know, don't believe, you know, the guy around the block's advice. You know, consult with somebody who is, it's their profession and they have studied this and, you know, make a living from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I love that. Having teeth doesn't make you a dentist.
Yes. There's a few other ones we say too, but there may be maybe not appropriate to say.
PG audience.
Yes, yes.
All right. So, okay. I think that we have talked about some really good things when it comes to dog parks.
We've beaten the dog park thing. Do not believe what you see on TV. Dog parks are not a place to go and meet a romantic partner. Ooh. And
oh, yeah.
Yes.
What movie was that? Must Love Dogs or
I don't know.
Right?
Something like that. Yeah, maybe people meet people at dog parks, but I don't know. You know what? I want to meet people with good control over their dogs. So, the person that's got their dog off leash in the forest and the dog is listening just like that, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Ooh. But the dog that's running willy-nilly at the dog park with the owner screaming behind it, I'm not interested in that person.
There you go. Dating advice from Swanee. Alrighty. The other places that we need to talk about. So, one of them is doggy daycare. And this is going to be another one that is probably an unpopular opinion. Yeah,
ruffles
with some
feathers.
And that's okay because we're here to educate. So we're not trying to say like this is an absolutely do not ever do this. We're trying to give people information from our experience.
Yes, because there are some very good dog daycares. And then there's some very poor dog daycares.
Yeah, and that's what we need to differentiate is what makes a good one and what makes a poor one. Mm-hmm. So if you do need to utilize daycare, and again, this is one of those things where sometimes this is what we need to do because we work long days and we need our dogs to get a little bit of exercise through the week. And how do we do that appropriately? So sometimes the answer comes in the form of daycare. A better answer would be if you can, you know, give yourself enough energy and time to give to your dog. And, you know, once you get past that early training stage, they don't need a lot in terms of time to really satisfy their needs, right? So you can get to the point where now you've got some skills on your dog and you've got some training and, you know, maybe you go to the park with your dog or you go out and you walk the trail with them and you let them sniff and investigate the world. And, you know, that's the thing with a well-trained dog. It's so much easier to exercise and meet the needs of a well-trained dog when they listen.
Right.
Right. And when you can go somewhere and you can let them explore the world a little bit and you're not worried about maintaining this super tight control on them because you're in a safe situation. Right. So if you can figure out a way to spend that time with your dog, mm-hmm. spend that time training, playing tricks. You know, maybe you take an agility class. Maybe you play some agility with your dog. Right. Maybe you just play with tricks with your dog. Mm-hmm. Mental, physical stimulation. Maybe you have some games of tug.
Right.
Maybe,
or parkour. Yeah. Getting the dog to, you know, walk across beams and balance on things. And,
Absolutely. We did a podcast episode on parkour. So if you're not sure what dog parkour mm-hmm. is, there's lots of really, really awesome stuff that you can do with your dog. Sort of like human parkour, but of course with four legs instead of two.
Right. And you don't need any fancy equipment. Yeah. You can just use things that you find, you know, in the forest, absolutely. In your backyard, in your house.
Yeah, mm. landscaping rocks yep. and fallen logs and, mm-hmm. you know, parking
curbs.
Parking, that.
Yeah, low bleachers. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And one of our students who does a lot of parkour, actually, he has these amazing parks where there's all this human equipment uh-huh. for exercising and whatnot, and he uses those with his Saib Willow to do parkour stuff, which is fun. I'm always right. saying, like, Albert, I'm so jealous of the parks that you have because you have these incredible pieces of equipment. I've never seen anything like that around where I live. Huh. Pay attention, Dunville people.
City of Dunville or town of Dunville.
Yeah,
Shannon wants a park.
Yeah, I want a park with some
you got a park equipment. Though with that giant mud skipper or what is it, a mud cat?
Yes.
What is that huge fish when you drive through Dunville?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it must. It probably is.
It's a catfish. Yeah, mud cat. I think it's,
Well, the mud cats are like the high school team, right, and there's a mud cat entertainment center. And right. like,
it's like a big fish sculpture, and mm-hmm. it looks real. It's green, greenish. Yeah. I've driven past that before. Yeah.
Me too. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ride the fish, but you know, it didn't work out.
You can probably go in its mouth.
Okay. I haven't found doggy daycares yet in Dunville. So anyways, the whole idea of doggy daycare is basically it's like a human daycare, right? It's somebody to take care of your dog while you're at work through the day. Mm-hmm. So in theory, this is a really nice idea, right?
Right.
Our dogs don't have to spend the day alone. They can spend the day with some friends, et cetera, et cetera. Right. But dun, dun, dun. There's always some drawbacks
right,
that come.
Because often what the doggy daycare is the big square room full of dogs just running around.
Exactly.
Dogs that shouldn't be together are playing together or, you know, trying not to play with each other. Yeah. Dogs are going to the bathroom on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, they're losing their housebreaking. And the dogs are becoming way overstimulated.
Yeah.
And they're learning that when I see another dog, it's a free-for-all. So now when you take me for a walk and I see another dog, I'm going to act out at the end of my leash because I'm not getting what I want.
Yeah.
What I expect.
Absolutely. And I think that you hit the nail on the head there when you said, when I'm not getting what I want. Mm-hmm. And what they want, of course, is based on what we've given them. So rehearsal counts for a lot mm-hmm. in dog training. And sometimes people will have dogs who are reactive out on the street and they've never been to a daycare and they've never been to a leash-free park, but they've allowed their dog to greet mm-hmm. other dogs on the street. They've maybe allowed their dog to play with other dogs on the street. And while it seems like such a benign thing when mm-hmm. it's actually happening and you have a puppy and, you know, you hear that, oh, my dog's friendly if yours is. And, you know, you want to have them meet. And people ask me that all the time when I'm out in public. Oh, my dog's friendly. And I just say, oh, mine's not. Thanks. And I keep walking. I don't bother getting into a whole bunch of excuses anymore. I don't bother trying to be polite. Right. I just say it like that and I move on with my life. And it's gotten easier and easier. Right. Every time it happens.
It's like, Shannon, when you're walking with Kip uh-huh. and suddenly you see another woman with their man, do you go, oh, they need to meet. They need to meet. And then run across the street and let Kip and that other man meet?
I'm going to try that next time we're out walking and I'm going to see how it goes. That's,
yeah.
I bet the people look at me like, right,
that. That's funny, yeah.
That's a great
idea. That is funny.
That is fabulous. I love that. We
wouldn't even think about that, but why do we do it with our dogs?
I think it's because we love the idea of our dogs being so wonderfully in love and friendly with everybody and everything. But here's the thing.
That's funny.
It's such an awkward thing for us. It's such an awkward thing for them. And it creates poor manners because they think that, you know, the expectation becomes now Kip is going to be walking down the street. And every time he sees another man, he's going to like just be out of control.
Right. Yeah. He's going to say, I got to go meet that guy. Let's go meet that guy. Or he's going to be like,
a friend. Yeah.
Or he's going to be horrified. Like, oh no, she's going to drag me across the street to meet that man. And you have to shake his hand.
He's really big.
He's really big. He looks like he'll just run right into me and wrestle me to the ground while he's happily telling me how great I am.
Like your average lab.
He's gonna sniff me.
Yeah.
He's gonna sniff me.
Okay. So there you go. Now we're giving husband advice.
You know
too.
What? We should do a funny YouTube video on that.
We That'd should. Oh yeah. My gosh, yeah.
That would be hilarious.
All the things that we do with our dogs.
Dogs, yeah.
Yeah. So back to
Can they meet? He's friendly, don't worry.
This big man's coming running towards your man. Oh, this is brilliant.
Right.
We are going to make this video, even if it's just an internal video for us to laugh.
I'm
going to
yell, no, Mike's been really sick. He's had diarrhea.
Everybody, request from the YouTube team that we have, when we have this specific video made for YouTube.
Yes.
Send in your requests. Stephanie's typing an email right now
all
for us.
Yeah, all the different scenarios that people yell out with their dogs. Yeah.
Gosh, I still can't get over that. The reference to Stephanie there, just to remind everybody. We said something about sending cookies and it was just brilliant. What a lovely gesture. She sent us cookies.
Delicious
ones.
They were so good. They were so good. Thank you, Stephanie.
So fun. All right. So back to, what were we talking about?
Dog parks.
Meeting people on the street. Yeah. No, we're talking about daycare.
Right. Daycare. Daycare.
So back, I want to touch base on that house training issue because that happens a lot.
Right. Yes.
You know, there's a lot of daycares where it really is just that. There was one that we heard of that it was a 9-year-old child who was monitoring all these dogs. And like,
oh my gosh, I hadn't heard of that one.
Yeah. I mean, the owner of the business or whoever it was in the office booking other clients or doing things. It was this 9-year-old child who was monitoring this playgroup. Wow. And it was apparently a large playgroup and a lot of large dogs. And, you know, I have all the faith in the world in our kids and their abilities to do things. But even one person, even an adult
dogs
in
are
that
strong.
Situation,
yeah, if you if have to get in there.
If a fight breaks out. I mean, you need to be able to take control of a large group of dogs immediately to shut any of that stuff down. You also need to be able to read it. Yep. And you need to be able to manage it.
Yes.
So if that group of dogs playing is too big for you to successfully manage solo, there should be more people to help manage this group.
Yes. And play can escalate so quickly.
It really can.
You have to know the dog's body language. You have to be able to read what's going on. You
absolutely.
Have to read the room.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And also, too, when dogs go to the bathroom on the floor and then other dogs step in it, or worse, other dogs eat it.
Ooh.
Like there's all kinds of gross things.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a nice face there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I made a gross face.
It's true, though. And like just that free-for-all, right? That idea that there's this constant, constant play. So having said all of this, if I were looking for a doggy daycare, I would be looking for some very, very specific qualifications for that daycare. And again, it would be a last ditch scenario. If I had any other option, you know, if I had the option to hire somebody to come in midday and, you know, they call them puppy visits, basically. Mm-hmm. So if you have somebody come in for a 15-minute window in the morning and a 15-minute window in the afternoon just to let the puppy out, do a little bit of play, let them have a bathroom break, etc. And then they can get tucked back away. And then, of course, you're going to meet the puppy's needs when you get home later in the day. But at least that sort of, that takes all of the stress and frustration of not being able to be home for a puppy, and it takes care of their needs for that period of time, right? And dogs are really great. They get used to the routines that we put in front of them. So, you know, as long as you're meeting the dog's needs and doing so in a way that allows them to grow and do wonderfully in their life, you're going to end up with a much better scenario by having somebody come into your house and individually deal with your dog's needs versus going through the daycare thing. Mm-hmm. However, if you do need to use a daycare.
Right. Because there are a few good ones. There are in our area, I know of a few that, you know,
absolutely.
Not ideal for myself, but they do a good job.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what is the number one thing
on
your list?
I do not want my dog's in a free-for-all with other dogs.
So structure.
Yes, structure.
What does that structure look like?
Well, the dogs are crated because it keeps them calm. It keeps them in a familiar area. It keeps them safe.
Right.
If they ideally, I would like the daycare owners to not even let my dogs play with other dogs. I would rather they bring the dog out and they play with the dog themselves individually.
Yeah.
So they might even do a little bit of obedience, maybe some basic skills. They, you know, play fetch, play tug, whatever my dog likes. Maybe they have an outdoor area that the dog can do a few different things, but they interact with my dog.
I love that idea.
Yes. And that would be a perfect daycare. And then that puppy goes away. And now the next puppy comes out and then the owner does the same thing and interacts. And then that one goes away. Then the next one comes out.
Yeah.
Maybe the dog, the daycare operator sees that, you know what, these are two puppies that would really benefit from each other's.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they hand pick and do a short play session, but it's very handpicked and it's watched very closely. And then they put them away.
I love the way you put that too. Maybe these two would benefit from playing with each other. So that is right away, the thing that stuck out in my brain when you said that is this is a capable person who knows the needs of the dog. Who's not just relying on, sorry guys, but our human beings and our human emotions that say that all dogs are going to love to play with each other. They're wrong.
Right.
I mean, it serves us on this emotional level to think that our dogs love playing with every other dog out there in the world, but it's just not true for your average dog.
Right.
So you need
far too overstimulating.
Yeah. And you need to actually look at what's going to be good and beneficial for that dog. And maybe that's a little bit of play. Sure. It might be a little bit of play with a like puppy who plays in the same style or even two adult dogs. You know, if you know that those dogs are social and you know that those two dogs play well together, having a short play session, sure, that's right along the same lines of us saying, you know, set up play sessions for success and know what you want to get out of them.
Right. But or just, it might not even be a play session. It might be two older dogs that really aren't interested in other dogs, but would like to walk around together.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's let these two walk around together.
Yeah. Or even better, there's two attendants at the daycare and they both have dogs out together that they're working with individually, but using each other as distractions,
Yes.
So that now your dog is growing in their lessons, they're growing in their understanding, they're getting good information, they're getting good mental stimulation. They're still going to be tired at the end of the day, you know?
Yes.
They're going to be tired in a better way, though.
Yes.
They're going to be tired in a way that doesn't create more energy.
Yes.
Because when it's just play, and when it's just wrestling
you're
it's just
building
physical,
athletes.
You got it. Yep. Absolutely. You might as well be sending them to the gym and letting them do little weight reps with all 4 feet.
Uh-huh.
So we've got like weights on their ankles, sort of like the poodle ankle things.
Right.
And then, you know, you're just building their muscle up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a nice mental image.
Yeah. You're building endurance. Yeah. Yes.
But that's exactly the truth. You know, every day that they go to daycare and they spend that whole day playing. You're just building an athlete.
Right.
You're just conditioning an athlete who's going to need more and more and more. And again, the negatives from it are they're going to infiltrate your life because every time you see another dog or every time your dog sees something exciting, they go from 0 to 100 because they don't get to practice the emotional control.
Right.
They only practice going in whole hog and going full time and going like as hard as they possibly can.
Right. And you're losing your value. The dog is saying, you know what? Other dogs are an awful lot of fun, and I think they might be more fun than you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I like them better.
Absolutely. So think about balance in all things. You know, with our kids, for example, they go to school, they do a lot of learning, and then they have these short recess windows because we know they need mental breaks, right? We're not trying to make them sit at their desk all day with their hands clasped and like straight backs and nothing but learning. And as soon as their eyes look away, there's a ruler slap on their desk, you know, like that's not what school's about.
Right.
School is about nurturing growth and nurturing understanding and education. But we know that there's a balance there. And if it was only, you know, that rigid setup in the school and no break, wouldn't be optimal learning for the kids.
Or if it was the exact opposite.
Exactly.
And the kids all get tossed in the gymnasium and it's like, go at it all day, kids.
Here's the dodgeballs, everybody. Here's some medicine balls you can use if you're really, really ambitious.
What is from The Simpsons, but when they throws the burp. Bombardment.
Bombardment. Oh, I forgot about that episode.
Bombardment.
The frozen one.
Right.
Isn't that what Bart does? He freezes it.
I think so,
He fills it with water and freezes it. Oh, my goodness.
But we know how, that can create a lot of anxiety. Yeah, and a lot of just things that we don't need.
Yeah. Well, and like imagine it's like our kids on sugar times 25, right? This constant overstimulation thing. So.
That's how I live my life.
One jujube at a time. I live my life one jujube at a time. If you want to know the equipment that our professional dog trainers choose and rely on for quality to help their dogs and their puppies learn exactly what is necessary, check out McCannDogs.store. If you do need to utilize a daycare, look for structure. Mm-hmm. You know, even if there's a lot of play involved, is there breaks for the dog? Is there an opportunity for the dog to get out of that situation? Here's another thing that I think that gets ignored a lot. There's a group of dogs playing and there's a dog in that group that's trying to stay off to the side and doesn't want to play. And there's no reprieve for that dog. There's nowhere for them to go. So then all these, you know, young, boisterous dogs who are super social are going over and bouncing on him while he's trying to say, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be part of this anymore. And like, that's just not.
It was. I have a little story. Honda needs to be professionally groomed, and I can do him, but he doesn't look as nice as when somebody else does it.
Right. He's got a lot of coat that needs clipping, correct?
Yes. Yeah, professional clipping. And he looks kind of like a poorly landscaped bush when I do it. So I often will treat myself and take him to a professional groomer so he looks beautiful. And I found a wonderful groomer and she treats him with love. And but when I would go, she would do quite a few dogs at once.
Okay.
And I didn't care for that. And I've since found a different groomer who treats him with the same love. But she did have a spot for Honda to get away. So Honda didn't really like playing with the other dogs. And so she would have, you know, maybe five or six dogs on the go. And a lot of them would be playing with each other. But there was a big open spot under their elevated bathtub where the dogs that didn't want to play would go. And I remember walking in once to pick up Honda and there's this big like free for all, you know, dogs all having this great old fun time in the grooming area. And then I look and there's Honda and one other dog and they're just sitting under the bathtub relaxing, like going, oh, we're away from all this. Him and his little friend under the tub. And I thought, poor Honda. I thought if that bathtub area wasn't there, I would never bring him here again. But I knew he could get away from it. Good. And he was hardly, you know, it was like once every 6 months he would go. And I found another place now for him that just has one dog at a time, which, you know, he's older now. And I don't want him subject to that. But I remember seeing him under that tub with one other dog that's like, we're not interested in the fun going on out there.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would be me too. See, like, I like social situations a lot, but I get to my fill quite quickly. Like, I want quiet back in my life. Right, when I find myself at a party, and I love live music, so I find myself at a lot of concerts, but by the end of the experience, I'm like, okay, I need to go back to my quiet. I need to go back and just, like, decompress from this and just return to my calm, normal state. And I feel that so strongly in my body. So, I mean, our dogs are the same way. Right. If there's something that they're not enjoying and we're pushing the envelope on it, like, we really need to ask ourselves, who is this for?
Right.
Who is it benefiting? And if it's just me, I need to take serious look at why I am pushing this then.
Right. So we need to put our dogs before us. Yes. Our dogs' emotions need to come before ours.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They're depending on us to make those good decisions for them. So, you know, even if it's, I love watching my dog play with other dogs, but if my dog doesn't love it, I'm going to make sure that that is the deciding factor, not my emotions. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to keep trying to push it and keep hoping for the best. Right. So yeah, be honest with yourself. Does your dog really want to be there? Does your dog really want to be involved in these things? You know, there was a video floating around on Facebook the other day that I saw that was a couple sitting at a cafe with this dog and they're trying to have a coffee and the dog is incredibly reactive. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, on one hand, like, it's nice to involve your dog, but that's not the right dog for that.
Right.
That dog is not enjoying that time.
No.
Or that dog is enjoying that time a whole lot and getting reinforced for the wrong behaviors. Either way, it's not a good setup.
Right.
And who is this benefiting? Is it benefiting you because you want to sit with your dog at a cafe? Mm-hmm. Or is it benefiting the dog? And if the dog enjoys being relaxed at a cafe while other people and other dogs pass by, hey, more power to them. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reason that there's nothing wrong with that.
Right, right.
But if the dog is reacting, like, you need to... you need to ask yourself, what is the point in doing this? Right. I'm putting my dog in a bad situation, putting myself in a bad situation because I'm allowing the rehearsal of this bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Clearly my dog's not happy in this scenario. Like, there's got to be something at that point that says, this is not the right dog to go and sit on a patio.
Exactly.
I'm going to find some other activity for this dog. Mm-hmm. So maybe later on down the road, once you've done some work with the reactivity and your dog can now be comfortable in a busier space, you revisit the cafe. But right now, it's not serving either of you. Exactly. So like, just don't do it.
Right.
You don't need to do this. Mm-hmm. Like, go and fix the problem and then consider it again if you want to.
Right.
Anyway, I digress.
Off your soapbox, Sam.
Off my soapbox. So there is one more place that I want to talk about that is often something that people frequent before their dogs are ready for it. And that is like the festival setup. You get like walkathons and you get
fall fairs,
days and fairs. There's all sorts of festivals that people will bring their dogs to.
Well, a good one, actually, I went back in the fall to a pet expo that was held in Toronto. I think they have another one coming up, and they encourage you to bring your dog.
Okay.
And wow, I of course I didn't bring my dog because I thought I want to really walk around and enjoy myself. And it was crowded and busy, and I saw so many dogs that were terrified, that didn't want to be there, that were stress panting and anxious and worried, dragging their owners, almost getting stepped on. It was just, it was a horrific place to have your dog.
Oh dear.
And even though it was a pet expo.
Wow. You know, and I mean, I think anytime you bring that much activity into a space with a dog who's not prepared for that, it's going to be a recipe for disaster.
Right.
So, I mean, there's nothing that says you can't get your dog prepared for that, right? But if I have a young dog or a dog that's new to me or a dog that's lacking in obedience, it's not the right place for that dog.
No.
Because they're going to go in and they're going to see all this exciting stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Ooh, I smell the cotton candy. Ooh, there's another dog. Ooh, look, a piece of candy. Yeah. All the exciting things that are going to make the dog go, wow, and get super overstimulated. Mm-hmm. And then the good behavior that may or may not have been there goes out the window.
Right.
So until you have reliable obedience skills, I would avoid places like that. Don't put your dog in over their head.
Right. And what another thing that bothered me, a little bit off topic, was how many people had, it was hot in there because of all the people and dogs, and people had clothes on their dog. Big hairy dogs with coats on and outfits on. And I thought, I'm hot. Like, these dogs must be so hot. Like, don't put clothes on your dog if it's hot. It was just, I saw a lot of people, I guess, had bought outfits for their dog and decided to put them on them. And it was hot in there. And I could see dogs panting and just looking uncomfortable. And there were toy breeds walking on the floor and almost getting stepped on. And I was really... As a dog professional, I really did, was not impressed at all.
I just had a flashback of when we used to do the Toronto Sportsman Show every year, and we would have a booth at the Toronto Sportsman Show every year, and I remember bringing Jaden, and Jaden was my first toller, and he was great for most of it. But you could tell there was a point, and this was early in my career, so it was a good lesson for me as well, and having a breed that typically is more aloof. Your average golden retriever or lab might love this setup where there's a million people coming in and petting them and saying hello all day long.
The pat and chat.
Yeah, most dogs, they'll be more selectively social, and most dogs will get tired of that constant barrage of attention in a hurry. And then it becomes oppressive for them. It becomes aversive for them. So we need to watch for those signs. And I remember seeing that in Jaden when I was still early in my dog training career. So it was a good learning tool for me, for sure. I remember seeing that he would initially be like, oh, okay, we're, you know, here's Pat and Chad and here's all these people coming. Yeah. And he would be curious about the first small group of people.
Right. Like, do you have treats for me?
What are you coming to touch me? You know, like, whatever the case may be. I think he was about 9 months when we did our first sportsman show run. And I remember seeing him after about, you know, maybe 5 minutes, maybe even shorter, after about 5 minutes of that constant barrage. Mm-hmm. And for me too, it was a very similar feeling. And I remember associating the two feelings together because I would start to get like a little bit, not anxious isn't quite the right word, but maybe irritable is a more correct word. I always had to work harder mm-hmm. to be friendly as the conversations continued. And right. it was the same conversations. Oh, what kind of dog is this? Back then, nobody knew what a toller was.
Right.
I was always saying, no, it's not a golden retriever mix. It's a Nova Scotia duck tolling retriever. Yeah. So back then, nobody knew what a toller was. Oh, what kind of dog is this? How old is he? Like that was
is
the
it
same,
a boy or a girl?
Yeah, it yep. was the same mm-hmm. questions over and over and over again. And I would get to the point where I was like, okay, it's like running a script over and over and over again. And like I was getting, you know,
right,
I
yes.
need a break from this like heavy duty social situation where I'm constantly smiling right. and talking to new people and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Like I just need a minute to go, okay, and be quiet again. Mm-hmm. And I could see that in Jaden as well. Mm-hmm. So I very quickly realized as the week went on that this was occurring and I would try to get him in for very short periods and then get him out quickly before he got to the point where he was rehearsing that right. feeling of not liking it. Mm-hmm. Because I was still concerned, you know, I wasn't concerned with his sociability. He was already a very steady, eddy mm-hmm. dog.
Right.
He, you know, at 9 months, mm-hmm. all the critical socialization windows are passed. I wasn't worried about him not being social in that situation, and I wasn't trying to drive any sort of social behaviors home. So I was just watching to make sure I didn't cause detriment. You know, mm-hmm. whatever was happening with mm-hmm. him there was still beneficial right, for yes. both of us versus detrimental for him at any point. Mm-hmm. And then bordering on the point where now I have this great social dog who's a typical toller, right? Mm-hmm. It says aloof right in their standard. Mm-hmm. Very typical toller behavior with a good solid temperament is mm-hmm. for them to go, oh, hey, how's it going? All right, I'm good with you.
Right.
And off they go. Mm-hmm. That's a very well-socialized, good-tempered toller. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be showing fear. They should be curious, but not like a lab where they're going to jump in your lap and be your new best friend, right? That's one of the things that I really, really like mm-hmm. about the toller. But I could very easily take him from being that solid-tempered mm-hmm. and social enough dog to now making him resent people approaching him.
Right.
Right. If I let him rehearse those feelings, mm-hmm. then I end up in a situation where I'm basically making people approaching him aversive to him.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure that even at that point where I probably didn't recognize all of the little bits and pieces of what I was trying to accomplish, but I knew that it wasn't good for him to sit in mm-hmm. that feeling. So I was trying to make sure that I'd get him out and he'd enjoy the social time and whatnot right. and then get him back out of that scenario mm-hmm. before he got to the point where it became, you know, like me feeling, oh my gosh, the same question
right.
300, 400, 500 times right. in a row yes. now. Like yeah. rehearsing that's going to make me not want to go into crowds, right? Same thing with my dog. Mm-hmm. So the festivals thing, I mean, if you know that you have a dog that can handle large crowds, large activity, and they're well-trained enough mm-hmm. to listen and be responsive in that environment, then you're going to know that because right. you'll have worked up to that. Right,
right? Yeah. Like think of the training that a seeing eye dog has yeah. had put into those dogs. They've had like usually 2 solid years of training.
Yeah.
So they can handle those situations.
Yes.
So, you know, your 8-month-old dog does not have the background.
Yeah.
You know, to go in and just be steadfast in those.
Yeah, absolutely. And to cross your fingers on that point and hope that they do okay means you probably shouldn't be going.
Right.
Unless you know unequivocally, okay, you know what? I know my dog can handle mm-hmm. this environment. I would be working in quieter environments first. I'd be, you know, going to my niece or nephew's soccer games and right. doing, you know, doing some obedience work beside mm-hmm. all the kids or moving further away from it or whatever the case may be. I would be working up to right. a busier festival or mm-hmm. a busier thing rather than starting there.
Right. Yes.
Definitely. I wouldn't start there and I wouldn't be bringing a puppy there. I would mm-hmm. be worried about the exposure to all sorts of things that could be dangerous right. for yes. them in terms of, you know, especially if they haven't had their full course of right. vaccinations yes. yet.
And many festivals don't allow dogs at them anymore yeah. because of bad things have happened. So, you know, do check, you know, your last thing you want to do is on a hot day, think you're taking your dog to the festival, drive there. And now your dog has to stay in the yeah. car.
Park,
you don't want to leave your dog
miles.
In the car. Oh, yeah.
No, definitely so, be careful about leaving your dog.
Right.
In the car.
Yeah. So check with the festival and, you know, festivals are for people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's a dog festival, but then, you know, don't be like the people at that pet expo I saw. Like make sure your dog truly is enjoying being there.
Yeah. Absolutely. All righty. We've got a couple of questions in our question box here. So I'm going to have to hold it far away because I don't have my
glasses
on. Okay. Do you have any advice for calming my dog down in parking lots? He gets so nervous in the parking lot. So Nervous is a little bit of a hard thing to address when we're not addressing people individually. I'm going to give some general tips, but mm-hmm. I always recommend if you have a dog who is showing nervous behavior, fearful behavior, I recommend so strongly that you work with a professional because it's so easy to make things worse.
It is.
When you're dealing with a situation where you're trying your best to do what you think is right, but you're not able to read the dog properly. And it takes time and it takes skill to be able to read the dog. So just like you said earlier, you know, having teeth doesn't make you a dentist. I wouldn't have the first clue where to start with, you know, if I was trying to take care of my own dental health without that professional's advice. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing with our dogs. The professional can see your dog, can read the body language and can say, you know what? No, this is not doing your dog any good. We need to take a step back or we need to move forward or we need to do whatever.
Right. Yes.
Some general tips for, you know, your average dog who is getting to a parking lot and feeling, you know, overstimulated maybe in the parking lot.
Right. There's so many things could be going on in the dog's mind and in that parking lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I always have what I call new location rituals. Mm-hmm. With my dogs. And I practice this because I know that it's going to come in so handy in my life. So whenever I go somewhere with my dog in the car, the first thing that I do when I open the car door is I will praise or reward my dog for not jumping out. Mm-hmm. So right from puppyhood, I teach them the door opening doesn't mean you get to go anywhere.
Right.
You know, so I might get to the place, open up my hatch. My dogs are in crates in the car. And now I'm going to praise them as I, you know, take my time, mm-hmm. change my shoes, mm-hmm. do whatever I need to do. Now I'm going to open a crate door and I'm going to praise and reward my dog for not jumping out of the crate. They don't get to leave the crate until I say okay, because I want to make sure that I have time to put on a leash or check mm-hmm. around and make sure that I'm safe and solo in whatever this location mm-hmm. is if I'm letting them off leash. So they're not allowed to just jump out on their own. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to open the door. I'm going to praise them. And then from there, I've hooked on a leash. I'm going to say okay and let my dog jump out of the car. But here's the thing. People get this order in reverse. I want to have my dog focus on me for a short period of time before I release them to do their own thing mm-hmm. at the park. So when I release my dog with the okay, I'm right away working my dog. So I'm going to say okay, and then as soon as my dog lands, I call their name. Mm-hmm. I might back away a step just to draw them in a little closer, ask for the sit, right? And then I'm going to, if this is a young dog that I'm working with, I'm going to reward that sit. I might say, okay, release them again, work mm-hmm. another response to name, another sit, something like that. Maybe I'll pull out a toy and have a little play with that dog. You know, it does not have to be all obedience skills. Yes. It can, it's engagement. Mm-hmm. Basically, what my goal is that I want my dog to get to a new location and not be thinking, oh, self-serving, what can I go and get into? I want my dog thinking about me until I tell them, okay, and then they can go and sniff and go pee on things and whatever. All I ask of them is that they keep an ear perked so that when I say their name again, they follow through and turn to me. And I'll actually, when I have a young puppy that I'm working with, I'll actually get to a location. I'll release them from the car. I'll do all these rewarding things, you know, value building things with them. And then I'll say, okay, up you go. And I'll stick them back in the crate and I'll repeat the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And this rehearsal of behavior allows my dog to practice the right thing over and over again. And now, you know, the first time it was novel. So it might have been hard the first time, mm-hmm. but the second time it's the same thing. It's not novel for the dog. So mm-hmm. the rewards are going to be more intriguing, more interesting, and earning those rewards is going to be something that my dog goes, oh, you know what? This is great. I jump out of the car. I'm going to look at you instead of thinking about what else is here at this new location. So wherever that location is, you know, I'll use parking lots. I'll use parks. I'll use the side of the street. You mm-hmm. know, if it's a quiet street and I think, oh, this would be a good place to do some training. Like any new space that's novel. And I try to gauge it for that dog. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to start, like I said, I'm not going to start at the festival.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to start at a quiet location. And then my next location is going to be busier. My next location is mm-hmm. going to be busier still. Like I'm going to incrementally make it harder while I'm teaching my dog what it is I want them to do. So eventually my dog just gets into the habit. This behavior has been habitualized. I get to the place, I release them from the crate and they hit the ground and then turn back and look at me because that's what's been rehearsed. A lot of the times people do the reverse of that. They think, oh, I need to let him sniff around and investigate the place and then maybe he'll pay attention to me.
Right.
Yeah, and it actually teaches them not to pay attention to you. It actually teaches them to go and be self-serving and do their own thing. Reversing that thing is such a game changer. Yes.
Or we often hear people that come to obedience class and they say, well, I let him run at the park before obedience class.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah, no, that's...
Don't do that. You know what? Even if it's going to make your life harder in class, mm-hmm. but trust us when we say, if your dog is in class and they're being good as gold because they're exhausted, we can't help you with that hard
right.
part.
Yes.
Because you're probably not telling us, oh, this was a disaster before, mm-hmm. and we're not seeing it. So right. we can't help you work through that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes dog training's messy, but right. you need to hit that messy so that you can get to the results piece.
Exactly, yes.
It's just the way it is.
Your dog's really not learning.
Yeah, exactly. You want a question?
Okay.
Drum roll
question. Well, these are handwritten.
I just remember yes. about your Chopper 4.
Chopper 4.
Chopper 4.
Chopper 4.
Where's that from?
It was a comedy routine yeah. routine I was listening to, Sklar Brothers, I think.
Never heard
a comedy of routine, yeah. Are members only dog parks more acceptable?
Oh, that's
there's proof of vaccination and dogs can get expelled for bad behavior.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes.
So this
yes.
is somebody who has said, I like the dog park. I really want to make the dog park safer. Here are some things that I can do. So this is actually
right.
a nice thing. This yes. is evolving I've, in the right direction.
Yeah, I've heard of a few. This is becoming more and yes. more of a trend now, the members only dog parks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's so good. That
it's a really good idea.
Yeah, we're headed in the right direction with this.
Yes.
So, I would say, again, just pay attention mm-hmm. to whether or not your dog truly wants to be there. And yes, having somebody check vaccines, maintain the park, make
right?
sure
yeah.
there's not, you know, marijuana people are, and glass.
People are cleaning up too after yeah. their dogs. Yeah, because I imagine
good
some
point.
Dog parks are pretty gross.
Yeah.
Yes.
I imagine you're
yeah.
absolutely right.
And
so, if you can find a setup like that.
Right. And there's a council that says, okay,
yes.
this dog's behavior was poor. Like, maybe they have cameras.
Yeah.
So they can review things that have happened.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at traditional dog parks, a lot of the times, there'll be a dog fight and the person who has the dog that's caused the damage is out of there before people have even stopped breaking up
right.
the fight.
Yes.
Because they see the writing on the wall. I don't want to pay a vet bill.
Right.
You know,
yes.
So if you have all of the member information,
right.
people are going to be held accountable.
Right.
So they're going to be more responsible.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe people are paying a member's fee that's help contributing
yeah.
towards the maintenance. Yeah. No, I think a members only dog park is an awesome idea.
Yeah. This is a great question. Thank you for sending your questions. They're mm-hmm. always so nice for us to talk about. I've had bad experiences taking my dog to pet stores. Should they be avoided too?
Oh, there's another one.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. So, I mean, personally, I go into the pet store to get food and I don't ever bring my dog in with me. You know,
like the only time I've ever brought a dog in was to try on a harness mm-hmm. and to try on a coat.
Yeah.
Yes. And then it was just kind of in and out to try
yeah.
them on. Yes. I have brought puppies in and carried them the whole time mm-hmm. just as a little bit of exposure for them. You know, maybe I'd put them on the floor in a isolated aisle and maybe practice a response to name or
yeah.
a few things like that. But it's, I think a lot of people with a puppy or a dog at a pet store, they're going to let their dog rush up to yours.
Yeah.
They're going to look at it as a social situation. So
yeah.
I think it's one of those read the situations.
Yeah.
One time I took one of my Malinois, Saber, to a pet store and she grabbed one of the toys and thought it was hers. And of course it was one of the most expensive toys. And after she had her mouth all over it, I thought, well, I guess I got to buy it now.
Yeah.
And so I ended up marching out with this super expensive dog toy I never would have bought. So yes,
oh,
that's
no.
yeah,
that lesson learned for
right,
you.
Yeah, it's like, ah, this was expensive.
So, and that's a point that I would make, and not that I'm saying that you weren't paying attention to your dog.
I was, yeah, well, I
but
probably,
I have been in pet stores before, and I have had a little dog
mm-hmm.
come around the corner on a flexi, and the person was still in the other aisle, and I thought, you know what?
Right.
What if I had a big dog here
right.
who decided that they wanted to you wouldn't even know. You would just, all of a sudden, the flexi
right.
would just come fling yep. back to you with no dog
with
in
no
the
dog,
end.
Yeah. Or that little dog could pee on lift his leg.
It's awful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or be mouthing things or whatever
right.
the case
yeah.
may be. So I would say that if you are taking your dog into a pet store, you need to treat it like it's a vet clinic waiting room
mm-hmm.
where you're
right.
not letting your dog socialize with other dogs or go off on their own or go explore on their own.
Right.
You know, this is not a free-for-all scenario.
Right, yes.
Yes, I mean, personally, I don't take the chance. When I know that there are going to be potential other dogs that
mm-hmm.
might come and pounce on my dog,
right.
I don't take the chance because I've had that experience, unfortunately. I've had that experience plenty, and I've had so many students who have had similar experiences, and one of our instructors had a dog who was injured for months,
from the pet store?
No, not from a pet store, but from one of those, don't worry, he's friendly, and a golden doodle off-leash, shouldn't have been off-leash, pounced on her dog, and basically the dog came up lame afterwards, whatever the twist was, and spent 6 to 8 months of downtime because it needed to recover from this injury. And like, how unfair is that?
That is very unfair.
You know, like there's no reason that something like that needs to happen. And you know what? Friendly dog or not friendly dog, things happen. Right. And you need to have control of your dog so that when somebody says, no, my dog's not, you can stop your dog from going in.
Right.
You know, or somebody says, no, I don't want my dog to interact, even if they are friendly.
Right.
You know, my dogs are all very friendly, but I have no problem saying,
Right, you know,
they're not, and walking, continuing to walk by. I don't have any ego in that at all. But I've also used, no, my dog's just getting over kennel cough, and that stops people. That stops people quite quickly. So.
Right, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this has been an interesting episode, hopefully an educational episode for you to make some decisions on what kind of places you are going to take your young dogs. Mm-hmm. On that note, I'm Instructor Shannon.
Instructor Swanee.
Happy training.
The McCann Dogs Podcast is brought to you by McCann Professional Dog Trainers. We help dog owners to have a well-behaved, four-legged family member. Please give us a call at 905-659-1888 or visit us at McCannDogs.com. Happy training!